Larry, you know what my favorite part of last week's show was? Hold on, I'm gonna play my favorite part. You ready?
Yes, please.
I'm ready. Be quiet. Ready?
Yes.
What'd you think?
That was excellent. Yeah. You know, it's funny that that's your favorite part because, really, that was the majority of the show.
That was most of the show last week.
99.9% of the show was that.
Yeah. So
unfortunately, because it was going to be a very good show.
It was. We had a lot of cool things lined up.
I was wearing my costume, my Vegas showgirl costume, which
you
spent hours on.
Stunning. You look stunning, my friend. And I was wearing my Hermione Granger costume, and I felt very wonderful in that. Hold on one second.
Now we can get the show started.
That was my friend Dana Cormier, who I think might be listening. And I'd like to say hello to Alice Cormier and William Cormier.
Cormier. Now, is that K-O-R-M-I-E-R?
No, it's C-O-R-M-I-E-R.
Oh, Cormier.
And Cormier and Alice.
Sounds
and
like
William.
Something you'd use in a kitchen.
They, well, Dana.
Pass me the Cormier.
Dana is a fantastic cook, so I have enjoyed a Cormier in the kitchen once or twice. And get your mind out of the gutter, Larry. But hello, Alice. Hello, William. I love you guys. And sorry we couldn't talk last week, but they just had their birthdays.
Happy birthdays.
Last week, and Alice turned 10, William turned 6, and they are the best.
The best.
They are. Hello, Larry.
Hello, Dan.
I'm with my friend Larry Hewitt, who I adore.
Right back at you, pal.
Thank you, my friend. And this is the Sci Show. We are hopefully broadcasting. You never really know with our show.
You never really know.
But we're recording, and either way, you guys will hear this if you log on. So hopefully people have tuned in. I can't check the chat room because we're computer down.
I will be able to check the chat room momentarily, however.
All right, so Alice, if you and William are out there listening, send us a little note in the chat room and say hi. So tonight we were going to recap again.
Oh, you know, we
what's up, Larry?
What are we going to talk about?
I thought you wanted to talk about film and the kind of Hollywood version of Paranormal Activity.
Okay,
and,
you know, to be fully transparent, we didn't even talk about what we're talking about.
I was pretty.
We're winging it.
I was pretty pissed off about this whole radio thing last week after the debacle of of the Halloween show. Gosh, we had this thing set up. I had this thing down to the minute what we were going to do.
We had a little Paranormal Activity.
And we had possibly a little Paranormal Activity happen. We had a computer shut down and right at the worst possible moment, and then start up soon after. We were supposed to finish the show shortly after 10 o'clock. So, there you go. How are we doing? How are we looking over there, Larry?
You know, I can't, even with my reading glasses, I can't read.
That's because you're getting really old.
Ancient.
Well, we're here in New York City for people who aren't in New York City. It's last week we had snow, and today it's about 90 degrees in Times Square since I walked over here, and I'm sweating like a nun in a cucumber patch, and so I'm cooling off with a nice Bud Light lime. And
sweating like a nun in a cucumber patch.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before, that particular
phrase. Nice to you, Dan. I took a big swig for my friend Dana down in Virginia. So coming up, I think we're gonna be more prepared for the next show. I would like to do a show on the Global Consciousness Project. I know that's something that you've got a pretty heavy interest in, Larry.
I do.
I did have the pleasure of meeting Roger Nelson down in Virginia.
Roger.
A couple of weeks ago, he's the guy that started the whole thing down at Princeton, and he's agreed to be on the show. So we got to set that up, and we can't be winging it with him. He's a guy who really knows what he's talking about.
Oh, no.
So we will keep you posted on that. And
Hold on.
Hey, there we are. Wow, I can hear us.
Yeah.
You're going to get a huge echo on this.
There we go. No, it's off.
All right, cool.
Okay, but we are there. That's what I was hoping for.
I'm sorry to be sniffing in the microphone here.
All right, then. It looks like we have, besides myself, and you, maybe one person.
So, who is that? That might be my mom.
Who is that?
My mom. I love you, Mom.
Is your mother listening?
She very well might be. I called her on the way over here, so she might be listening. Her and my dad are sitting in the computer room. Mom's sitting
they
in the chair.
They have a computer room.
They have,
wow.
That is my old room. And they turn it in the computer room.
What do they have, a whole compound there?
No,
the computer room.
No,
the,
you know,
the
and
the
you guys
theater,
need a new
bowling alley.
You, yeah. Yeah, it's in the west wing of the Sturgis compound at Miller Place. It's just down the hall from the library and the indoor pool.
Nice.
No, so they're sitting in the computer room. I'm sure they're listening to me. So hope it sounds good. And thanks for listening. Tell
we
Rosie.
Need to do more marketing, obviously.
We do. She's my mom. And Rosie. Rosie's in there. Hello, Rosie. Rosie's the dog.
Oh, I see. So why isn't Rosie saying anything?
Say hi to Rosie, Larry.
Hello, Rosie.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, well, I guess tonight's topic we will talk about, amongst other things, we will talk about Hollywood's version or television's
yes.
version or the media's version
yes,
of
yes.
Of paranormal activity and ghosts and whatnot.
Not just the movie by the name of Paranormal Activity, by the way.
Right, exactly. Or Poltergeist or
yes.
or Ghost.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's actually a good one. Yeah, let's talk about Poltergeist. And yeah, we'll talk about the differences between that and kind of, I mean, you don't want to say real life paranormal investigating kind of. But the kind of stuff that Larry and I do. We had an investigation last Saturday at the Merchant's House. We'd like mm-hmm. to thank them for letting us in 29 East 4th Street. It was, wow, was that, what was that, a
it's
demon?
My stomach.
Holy cow. Was it a demon? Would you have a lunch, man?
A nice panini.
I think I got one on deck myself, so.
That's all this junk food we have here.
Yeah, we do have a pile of junk food, but we have quiet junk food. We have Swedish fish. Right.
That's the only quiet. We have malted milk balls, which is not quiet, and almonds.
No, and wasabi almonds, which are fantastic. And we're drinking Bud Light wine, which is great, too. All right, so.
So why don't we start with Poltergeist? That's a good one to start with.
Right, in general, though, what do you think? I mean, obviously,
yeah, let's do a little
Hollywood's version of paranormal activity and ghosts and parapsychology as well. TV and Hollywood and any kind of media, any kind of entertainment stuff. It's of course it's for entertainment, so it's all heightened and really stretched to the limit as far as a real paranormal investigation and the kind of stuff that Larry and I do. Even the shows like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventurers and stuff like that. I mean, they do have a product that they have to sell,
right?
And nobody's going to tune in and watch. You know, two guys walk around for an hour and nothing happened
right,
in a
right.
dark room.
Well,
so.
It's not even nothing happening. You know, the real difference is that, you know, true paranormal activity tends to be very subtle, you know, most of the time. You know, you get an EVP, and even when you get a good EVP, rarely is it something screaming at you. It's, you know, it's something in a sort of raspy or whispery voice that you know, oftentimes need to clean up to really get an understanding of what it's saying. So it's not, you know, it's not these loud, explosive, sort of booming sounds that you see most of the time in
right.
movies. And as far as visuals go, it's the same sort of thing. Even when you have a visual, oftentimes it's hard to see with the naked eye.
Right. Right, and it's not everybody's going to be seeing it, and rarely do you get your collar tugged hard enough to pull you backwards.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Or and every place you go to isn't infested with evil spirits or demonic
right.
entities.
Well, that's usually not even evil. You know, I mean, you know, going back, you know, we've talked about this in the past, but I think it would be good to touch on for a moment now. It's, you know, there's a difference between, you know, something that would be arguably a demonic or evil spirit or ghost or entity, and something that's, you know, you're sort of run-of-the-mill ghost. And the main difference is a ghost is a person. You know,
right.
that's what it comes down to. It's the disembodied personality of what was a living person.
I mean, basically, you're getting the person. You're
that's
not
right.
getting the body. You're not getting the
right.
suit or the coat of arms, so to
right.
say. You're getting... You know, the real driver behind that.
The essence of that person.
Right. And, you know, when somebody's body finishes You know, it's life. The person, the consciousness, or the soul, or the mind doesn't get any smarter, doesn't get any dumber, doesn't learn the secrets of the universe.
It is. And it also doesn't that person doesn't suddenly have superhuman powers either.
Right. Right.
You know, obviously they're without a body and they're existing on a different plane of existence than we do. Therefore, physics as we know it is probably somewhat different, so they can possibly pass through walls and physical objects, things like that.
Right, but they're not bound by
that's right.
by anything. They have nothing holding them back.
But at the same time, they don't usually lift a building off of its foundation.
No. And I mean, you know, we're talking and suck it into the earth.
That's right.
Which looks cool on film, but you know, if that were happening often, I'm sure we would have heard of it by now. Yeah, I wouldn't be doing this if that was a possibility. But
at least not without being heavily armed.
Right. Exactly. But you know, and it is funny because we're talking about the movie Poltergeist, and we're talking about Carrie. Carrie would be a good movie too because psychokinesis.
Carrie, yeah, psychokinesis.
That's the real thing going on.
Although you have a friend who is
right. You know,
an excellent Carrie impersonator.
I haven't, and I don't think we should drop the dime on her just yet. But because I haven't spoken to her. She doesn't know that. I mean, if she's listening now, she does, but...
No.
she
so really, we should feel free to...
Well, she'll listen to this when we archive it, so I don't want to blow her up right out of the water. But she doesn't know that the computer turned on as soon as she walked out the door.
Oh, really?
See, what happened last week when we were doing the show, and we have a friend who I've known her for a very long time. And she claims, I forget what she calls herself. She calls it her electromagneticism or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But I've seen it in action. I mean, I've seen her walking down the street and streetlights have popped off as she's walked by.
Yeah,
it's the weirdest
thing.
And she laughs about it and says, oh, you know, I've been doing this my whole life. And sometimes it does it, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And the other night she walked into the room when we were broadcasting from the Merchant's House, the Halloween show, and literally 7 or 8 seconds after she entered the room, my computer crashed.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it to start. It would flash.
Well, we were having multiple problems, you know.
Yeah.
The computer, first the computer died completely. I mean,
right.
Not just crash.
It wouldn't turn on.
Right.
Yeah. The screen would blink 3 times
right.
and then shut off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the strangest thing. I've never seen that.
And the mixer wasn't working. And
right.
Yeah.
And then we put it on the little computer.
Oh, wait, before it crashed, we kept getting kicked off.
Right.
Right.
Right. I think that might have been because we had multiple applications running on that computer. But regardless.
But we've done that before.
We're
doing it now, I think.
I'm just looking for another reason. But she walked in the room, and Larry, the last part of the show, the last thing you hear is I'm just making sure Stephanie, oh, I don't blew her up, make sure Stephanie has a place to sit down, and boom, the computer just shut off.
Right.
And she hung out with me. I hung out there the rest of the night because I had to speak to
And we couldn't get it back up again.
No, couldn't. Yeah. Couldn't turn it on. She hung out with me for a couple of hours, and then finally she was like, "Dan, I'm shot, man. I gotta go." And she split. And as soon as she walked out the door, I had about a half an hour to kill. So I said, "Let me pull this damn computer out and see what's going on." And Larry, I think I texted you right after.
Yeah,
right?
You did.
I plugged the computer in and I turned it on, and it started right up like normal. And I got 9 minutes of the Halloween show recorded. Yeah, so I haven't talked to her about it, but I'm sure there's something going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Going on there. But
very interesting.
Which is, you know, poltergeist activity or some kind of psychokinesis.
That's the real poltergeist activity.
Right, poltergeist. And it's funny, we'll talk about poltergeist. The first things in that movie, everybody's seen the movie, it's a great movie. But a lot of the things that... in the very beginning of the movie that the family's experiencing is poltergeist activity. It's real for
right.
real poltergeist activity. And then, like, the stuff swimming around the room, that's
right,
really
right.
heightened, you know, this movie poltergeist activity. But it's still just poltergeist. And then it got into some weird stuff. But
Let me ask you this, though. If the, you know, the psychokinetics, I'm answering my own question. If the psychokinetic activity is being caused by a ghost, would you say that's poltergeist activity?
Wow.
Or would you say that that's
Is it?
I mean, it's psychokinetic because a ghost is doing it, but yeah, I mean, everything that a ghost does is
psychosomatic. It's got to be right. Psychokinetic. It's all PK.
Right.
The only way they can, and ESP.
Right.
And PK. If they're manipulating anything, if they're interacting with the physical world,
right.
It's got to be PK.
So, I mean, but how do you differentiate then something that is sort of, you know, done by a ghost, you know, ghost originating PK and
this is great.
I'm trying to gotta cover up the burps, sorry. And living host PK. How do you differentiate? I mean, I don't know of a term that differentiates those two things.
No, I don't think there is one.
Let's make one up.
Scrumptulescent.
There you go. Right. Scrumptulescent. Which one is that?
Scrumptulescent PK.
Which is what?
Which is, what we'll call that spirit-generated PK. Is scrumptulescent PK.
Spirit-generated scrumptulescent. Okay.
SPK. Yeah. SGPK.
You're too far from the mic now.
I'm pondering. I don't even want to hear you. Are you listening, Bob?
Okay.
I was leaning back having a sip.
There you go.
Bud Light Lime, sponsored by Bud Light Lime. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes, that would be great. That would be excellent.
Okay, back to what we were just talking
sponsored
about.
Sponsored by Hooters, perhaps, might be better.
Well, we were inspired by Hooters.
That's right. That's where we planned this all.
We were gestated in Hooters.
as you are wont to do.
Yes. Look at that. We 17 minutes. We haven't bumped off once.
Wow. See?
Has anybody come on, or has anybody split, or anybody talked to us?
Not as far as I know. Only three people.
I can tell you why my mom. Well, we have an extra person because I'm not listening.
Oh, you're not?
I'm not on.
Oh, so there are two people.
Awesome.
Wow, it's a crowd.
Holy cow. Amazing. Well, I could tell my mom. I'm sure she wants to type something, but I don't think they've changed their batteries in their wireless keyboard in quite a while, because I tried to type on it last time I was home and it didn't work.
Oh, wait. What's the... Hi, Dan, it's Alice. I didn't even see these.
Hey, Alice.
Hi, Dan, it's me, Alice.
Hey, you, Alice.
Who's Alice?
Alice is my niece, my best friend's daughter, down in Virginia.
Your best friend's daughter? Oh.
Alice,
right.
Come on, Larry.
She was listening during Halloween, wasn't she, I think?
She was.
For the brief time we were on.
Alice dressed as Medusa.
Wow, that's a scary costume.
It is. I'm sure she made Medusa look really pretty, though.
Well,
yeah.
Pretty for a girl with a head full of snakes.
I've met a few girls with a head full of snakes.
It's funny. I've met a few girls with a head full of rocks.
Well, I'll drink to that. I don't know if we're broadcasting in Canada, but... anyway, back to Poltergeist Activity.
Yeah,
back to Poltergeist, the movie. It really kind of it left for a while the kind of Poltergeist Activity. I don't want to say run of the mill because it's certainly not run of the mill, but the kind of what parapsychologists would consider Poltergeist Activity in science and in the field today, the current model of Poltergeist Activity. The movie kind of strayed from that, you know, to keep it exciting. Otherwise, you know, it would be really boring.
Yeah, of course.
They also did have parapsychologists in that. Parapsychologists came and set up all their equipment. And I'll tell you, being a paranormal investigator who, when I started out, I don't know about you, Larry, but when I started out doing this, I bought every piece of equipment I could think of getting that I saw on TV, that I read in books.
Yep.
I had freaking strobe lights.
Oh, I didn't do the strobe lights. That's interesting.
I had strobe lights. I had every kind of night vision thing you
could get. Did you ever get anything with strobe lights?
No, but they were fun to play around with.
Because the idea is, that you whatever activity there is, you're slowing it down, right?
Exactly. It's a different frequency.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was cool. I had strobe lights going with a black light. And
do you have any felt posters that you put up?
Man, it was awesome.
That's all that was missing.
I had a strobe at Eastern State Penitentiary, man. I had a strobe light going all night long. And we would just run up and down the hallway just to see what it looked like.
Did anyone's tongue roll back into their mouth?
Nothing at all. But But I had tons of stuff, and I had a DVR set up, and we had cameras,
yeah,
and, you know, 300 feet of BNC cable, and monitors, and then I plugged in. I went and I bought really cheap DVD burners, and I plugged those into the camera, so each camera had its own DVD that it was burning.
Oh, wow.
I went to town. I bought...
Why'd you do that? Why didn't you just get a hard drive?
Because I thought it was cooler to have all that stuff, and then you could just dump stuff. You could just take the DVD and give it to somebody. They could watch it later on. All you need to do an investigation is like a recorder and a pencil and a flashlight if it's dark.
Well, you need a flashlight. Yeah.
So you see these people in the movies that have all the stuff, and they load up, you know, the real tape recorders, which would be fun, but you got to carry all that crap around New York City. So in the movie Poltergeist, a lot of those guys had all that equipment that they set up, and what was that movie, The Entity, where they froze the spirit with liquid nitrogen.
Nice.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And the interesting thing, we'll have Barry Taft. Barry Taft was the guy that investigated the Entity case for real, and I met him last year. He's a really, really nice guy. He actually hooked me up with somebody out in Los Angeles for something good. Keep your fingers crossed. But he's a good guy. We'll have him one time call in, and he'll tell us the whole deal about the Entity case. He's really generous with his information and a cool, super guy. So let's look. Is anybody else listening?
Actually, we lost somebody.
Good night, Alice. Or my mom, maybe. Got enough. She's embarrassed.
Your mother was like, what is this crap?
Hey, those stupid movies. Well, Dancing with the Stars is coming on soon, so she's gonna. I know she's going to be logging off. Because, I mean, come on, Dancing with the Stars. I hope my DVR works. Oh, man. This is what we do. I'm single, too, ladies. Anybody listening? Hard to believe. What's the best movie you think you've seen?
As far as being accurate and I've got a very embarrassing thing to admit, which is I've never seen the movie.
We only have two people listening,
right? and one of them is me. We got to upload these to iTunes because this is Radio Gold.
Radio Gold.
I never saw the movie Ghost.
You never saw the movie Ghost?
No.
It's actually pretty good.
I know. That's what everyone tells me. So I really should see. There's
a great scene in it where Patrick Swayze is... He bumps into a ghost on the subway. Great character actor. Where do you see him? You'll know who he is as soon as you see him. Who teaches Patrick Swayze's character how to touch things. And he says, you're not touching them with your body because you don't have one anymore. You're touching it with your mind. He's talking about PK and how he's got to focus. And it's really, really cool watching Patrick Swayze kind of practice that.
Yeah.
And I think Lloyd was a technical advisor on that show.
Oh, was he?
On that movie. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. But you should write that.
I know. Well, so barring Ghost, one of the better ones, and it sounds funny because you wouldn't think, but Ghost Town with Ricky Gervais. You should see it. It's actually pretty good. It's pretty funny. And it's the same kind of thing. They obviously had, it seems as though they had some kind of paranormal consultant, helping to clue them in, because a lot of it was pretty accurate. Like one of the things which we talked about last week on Saturday at the Merchant House, which was Ricky Gervais says to this ghost, oh, what's his name? What's his name? Famous actor.
If I narrows it down, hold on. Tony Randall.
One of my favorites, actually. No, what's his name? He's in Ghost Town. He was in, he played, I don't remember. Damn. Anyway, Ricky Gervais says to him,
Joey Lawrence.
Joey Lawrence. he says to him, so what, why are you wearing a tuxedo? What I died in, and so it's what I remember best, and it ties into the idea that that ghosts are projecting their own self-image,
right.
And he mentions something like that. He says, "I think I look good in a tuxedo, so that's what I want you to see."
Yeah, very cool.
So, And there are a lot of little things like that, you know, in Ghost Town. So it's so that one is actually pretty good.
There's a movie. Have you seen The Changeling with George C. Scott?
Oh, no, I haven't.
It's not really. It's a ghost movie. And they do have some paranormal investigators. I think it was from 79 or maybe 80, early 80, 81 at the latest. And it's just a good movie. It's just a really good ghost movie.
Really?
Yeah. And George C. Scott. You can't get any better than George C. Scott.
Right.
Being terrified in this big old house. And fantastic. Well, let's talk about Ghost.
Go ahead.
Well, Ghost, it was, you know, there's no point talking about it. Let's how about the Poltergeist, the Paranormal Activity, the Paranormal Activity movies? Because I'm getting actually a lot of questions about I did a lecture at the Bartopel last week, and somebody came up to me and was asking me all kinds of questions about Paranormal Activity and whether or not it was real.
Right,
does that really happen? And have you ever seen anything
like that?
And just for the record, I haven't, and I don't know anybody who ever has seen anything like that.
Well, I mean, some of the things, you know, it's what I felt was that they took sort of tidbits of real paranormal activity and just exaggerated it, much the way they did in Poltergeist.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, you do hear sounds, you know, things like that. And like you were mentioning, the things flying around the kitchen, they had the same kind of thing.
Right.
They weren't flying. And that was actually a cool scene in the latest movie where everything... The woman walks into the kitchen and it's empty.
Upside down, yeah.
Well, no, it's empty.
Uh-huh.
She's like, "What the hell?" And then what it is everything is just hovering, you know, at ceiling level.
Did you notice
level.
That? I didn't notice it when it was up there.
No.
Know, was,
yeah,
when
yeah.
It came dropping
and then
down,
it just
cool.
came falling down. And that's cool. And that, you know, things like that happen, but usually not on that scale, you know.
Right. I mean, I had I was in a house in upstate New York with Don Villela, and we had a quarter fall out of the ceiling, and a thumbtack.
A quartation.
Yeah, I mean, out of the blue, and again, we thought it was somebody that was faking something. And when I walked out of the room, somebody was walking out behind me, and we heard his coin drop, and we went in, and a quarter was laying on the ground where, you know, it hadn't been before, and as we were walking out, we heard something else fall, and it was a thumbtack in the exact same spot. So I told Don said, "Do you think this person threw that?" And I said, "You know, well, if they did, they're a really good shot because it really landed in the exact same spot." And we couldn't figure out where.
Did you like use any equipment to try to?
We did EMF stuff, and there was no EMF in the room. No cold spots, anything like that. Which have you ever come across cold spots?
Well, see, that's the thing. No,
yeah,
I never have.
Yeah.
That's the other big thing you see from the show is it's, you know, you see that all the time. Oh,
it's
freezing cold. That's what I mean on the TV
show. Well,
that's
a non-contact thermal,
yeah,
the laser things because it looks like a gun and it looks great,
right,
but
looks
you're taking
cool.
the temperature
yeah, yeah,
of the
yeah.
wall.
Right.
You're not
right.
taking the temperature of
right.
of ambient air. You're taking
right, right.
the temperature.
Okay. Yeah, 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 yeah. So yeah, but I never have. Yeah.
Me neither.
And even if you do, I don't know what that tells you exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they say it's because a spirit to manifest needs the energy. So if it
well,
takes
I know,
the
but
energy is heat, so if it takes the energy out of a location, it's taking the heat out of a location.
Well,
leave a cold spot. But then when they walk around with their thermal cameras, they're seeing heat.
Right. And oftentimes they'll also say, oh, it suddenly got very warm. And so it's like, but then that blows the whole theory
no
out of the water.
Spot, yeah.
But it's the opposite of that even.
Yeah, thermal imaging cameras don't even pick up cold spots.
Right.
They can't.
So, yeah, so that's
this
why.
They need, like our eyes need,
yeah.
it needs to bounce off of something
right.
and reflect back. And,
right.
You know, if there's nothing there, it's not reflecting back. Yeah.
That's what
but that's TV. And
oh, wait. Are other listeners back?
Hey, welcome back. Hey, Mom. How's it going?
I guess the stars on Dancing with the Stars aren't that interesting.
My mom's probably going to make another drink. Get off the sauce, Ma. My mom doesn't drink.
but, I mean, the other thing is the...
Do you need a beer?
Oh, no, I'm good still. The other thing is, you know, the full body apparitions, you know, when you do see one, it's certainly not what you see in the, certainly not, or what you see in the movies. You know, they're and I think we also there needs to be a difference between we need to state a difference between, I guess, a ghost movie or you know, a movie portraying paranormal activity and just a, you know, all out horror movie. You know,
right, right.
Because there's definitely a huge difference. So what I was going to say is when you see a full body apparition, again, it's usually subtle, you know. I've heard all the, you know, people telling ghost stories saying, oh, you know, or you see it on these TV shows. Yeah, there was a guy there. I talked to him, and it was just like talking to a regular person. You know, I didn't see any difference, and then suddenly he was gone. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, I've never seen anything like that or had any credible evidence of anything like that.
Yeah, but I do think that, and one of the kind of red flags when I'm speaking to somebody for the first time over the phone who thinks their house is haunted or somebody who wants me to come out and investigate. I don't have a lot of time. I certainly don't like wasting my time, so I kind of grill the person over the phone, and they tell me, you know, I was looking at this apparition, and they were looking at me, and I could see through them, and they were very misty. I kind of blow those people, well, I don't blow them off, but I don't really put a lot of stock in that, because I think when you're seeing an apparition, you're seeing something. One, you're not seeing it with your eyes or your brain. You know, you're not seeing it through your lens of your eye. You're seeing it. You hate the phrase the mind's eye, but you're.
I don't hate that phrase.
You hate that phrase.
No.
But you're
oh,
seeing.
Yeah, that's right. I hate that phrase.
You're seeing. You're seeing what they want you to see. They're projecting a telepathically a mental image. So why would they project a see-through mental image?
Yeah, but you know, I always wonder about that theory, to be honest. You know, and the reason why I wonder about it is because, and I know the answer to this as well, you know, but what about the times when there is sort of credible visual evidence, you know, something filmed? And then, of course, the answer is, well, they projected themselves onto the film or the video or whatever.
BK, right.
Right, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough part. That's the hard part. And I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and that would come up, there were, you know, really, really major scientists down there who were saying, you know, I believe that something's going on.
Yeah.
Obviously something's going on. He goes, I don't necessarily think it's ghosts, and I don't think it's the spirits of people.
Right, yeah.
I mean, interacting with us. I think they were calling it investigator's eye, and it was all stuff that was coming from the investigator, not necessarily from the spirit.
I don't know. I don't buy that either. Because
I mean, otherwise, what the hell are we doing with our lives?
But, what I was going to say is, the apparitions are not... Have you ever seen a full-body apparition?
No. No.
Oh, really? I did one time, and I wasn't on an investigation at all. I was not... I was sitting, this was in Brooklyn, I was in Cobble Hill, I was sitting in this park, it was about midnight, I was on the phone with a friend in this park, and I was facing, there's a fence, and then on the other side of the fence, it was one of those old wrought iron fences, and on the other side of the fence is, it's not a street rail, what do they call it, like a muse, and with all these are actually 18th century buildings, not even 19th century, they're 18th century buildings. It's one of the oldest streets in Brooklyn, or Mews in Brooklyn. And I was just sitting on the phone, you know, talking to a friend of mine, and first what I saw actually were lights that they were sort of at the second story of these buildings, so the top story of these buildings. And it was just sort of a light that went across, like a sort of like a ball of light that went across. And at first I thought, you know, maybe there was a car. I didn't hear a car, but I looked behind me to see if a car had gone by. There was no car or anything like that. And I thought, oh, that was kind of interesting. And then about a minute later, it was the same kind of thing, but rather than it being like a white light, it was like a black shadow that went across, the same sort of thing. And I thought, okay, now that's odd, because there's nothing that can cast a shadow on the second story, you know. And then about a minute or two later, somebody was walking down the street, the Mews, and at first I didn't think anything of it. I thought, you know, because people periodically walked by. But somebody was walking down this mews, and as they came into my direct line of vision, I noticed this person was sort of see-through. They were kind of, you know, the typical what you hear, you know, kind of misty and kind of see-through, walking like a normal person would walk, and I heard the footsteps and the whole nine yards, and I was blown away. I was like, and I said to my friend, I said, I won't say exactly what I said, but I was there were a lot of expletives, and I said, I think I'm seeing a full-body apparition. And just as I was saying that, this apparition, you know, continued to walk, but just sort of faded, didn't leave my sight of, you know, my line of vision, didn't walk out of my line of vision, just sort of faded. And it was the coolest thing. But it was very interesting. But that is more, you know, I think what you see.
I think the closest thing I've had to something like that, an experience like that, was many years ago. I was living in an apartment in 46th Street, and I had had a lot of problems with my back many years ago, and I had lots of surgeries. And after my first surgery, and I don't know if you've ever had a major surgery, but it really messes with your head, and you lose your self-esteem, and especially for somebody like me who's so used to being so independent, to have to rely on Dana, who's down in Virginia, to take my laundry to the laundromat and pick up something from the deli for me because I couldn't walk and couldn't carry anything. But you know, I was acting and just out of acting school and just ready to just pack it all in, and I was laying on the couch and I was used to working midnights and my body clock hadn't changed back to normal and I couldn't sleep at night. It was just a miserable time in Dan's life and no money and just destitute and just hating life. I was watching TV, laying on the couch, and it was really, really late. And this was a dream. It was absolutely, positively a dream. Fell asleep, which you need to do. And I woke up. Well, I didn't wake up, but I my grandmother, who I was very, very close with growing up, she lived with our family, and I grew up with her. She moved in before I was born. And her grandma's listening. Love you, Grandma. And she was walked through the kitchen and came into the living room. And she said, "Don't be afraid, Danny." And she sat down on the couch on this big chair that I had across from the couch. And she gave me a pep talk. And she said, "Hang in there. Don't move. Don't, you know, you're." And she just gave me a pep talk. She said everything that I needed to hear. And she said she was with Cha-Cha, and who was
Cha-Cha?
Her, Cha-Cha was her chihuahua. and that she was in heaven. You know, if there's a heaven, the grandma definitely is there. But when she left, she said, "Okay, I'm going to go now, but you know, I just wanted to come down and talk to you." And I followed her, Larry. I followed her walking out the living room. I was talking to her, and she walked into the kitchen where it was dark. I could still picture it. And I woke up sitting up and looking into the kitchen, like in my dream.
Uh-huh.
I followed her out,
right,
and then
right.
I woke up leaning, looking into the kitchen.
Wow.
And was like, wow, I was blown away, and then went to sleep. A couple days later, I was talking to my mother, and I'm sure she remembers this, and I said, I was telling her, "God, I had the weirdest dream about Grandma the other night." She goes, "What night was that?" And I said, "Oh, that was Saturday night, like Sunday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning." And she said, "Oh, that was Grandma's birthday."
That's interesting.
Which I completely just spaced, because I was so all about myself. So I think she came down on her birthday. And whether or not it was... I like to think it's the spirit of Grandma, but she was completely three-dimensional in his dream and solid and not see-through or vapor.
Right. Well, because it was in your dream.
Right.
So that's the thing. I mean, you know, that's a common thing, too. They say that, you know, spirits can often communicate through dream states.
They would have to.
You're
on the right frequency.
Right. So, well, that's what I mean. Yeah, of course, in a dream, you're seeing her, you know, it's partially you and partially her, you know. So that's why I'm saying, that's also why I think that, you know, so that night, for example, that night when I saw that full-body apparition, you know, first I saw the lights, and then I saw the shadows, and then I saw the apparition. So, you know, what does that mean? I mean, if you take the parapsychologist's, you know, the general theory, then... Did those lights and shadows not actually, were not actually visible? Was it that just you know, in my mind being psychically communicated to me, or was it just the apparition that was not visible? And if it was just the apparition, why would that be then? You know, if one sort of set of, you know, paranormal activity or energy that would take, you know, that would manifest into that paranormal activity be physically visible, why wouldn't this other form?
Clearly you were sitting on a vortex.
Clearly. Or a tack.
Yeah. You're sitting at the intersection of some ley lines.
By the way, just I
is Alice still with us?
Alice is still with us, she also was saying how she loves Swedish fish and wasabi almonds.
Oh, I'm totally gonna have one right now. Listen to this.
Ready? This one's for you, Alice.
Oh, oh my God!
So good.
oh wait, it's Dana. It's Dana. Alice says it's me, Dana.
All right. Whoever it is. I love you.
It's an Alice Dana hybrid.
Yeah.
At any rate, so those are the full body apparitions that we're talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about something yesterday on the phone. We were talking about. I feel like because I'm in a bad mood, sort of, and I feel like calling out people that are pains in the ass and this
feel free.
But I don't know if it's the right thing to do. I don't know.
I think it's called slander.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? There's only just a couple people listening. I'd rather do it when I knew that these people were listening and we got the phone line set up in the chat room going, because I'd like to just really trash some people. I'm in a bad mood about this. But, all right, well, let's... What do you think of Ghostbusters, man? Ghostbusters was a good movie.
Ghostbusters was excellent. Yeah, totally fake.
Well, but yeah.
There was nothing.
Yeah.
There was nothing that was even remotely, you know, it was a pure entertainment purpose. I mean, wouldn't you say? I mean,
it's hot as hell in your office.
Open the door. You can open the door. yeah, because I think everybody's gone. But yeah, there was nothing... I mean, I love that movie, but there was nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the very beginning when they were messing with the cards, that was one of those Zerner cards.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. But
sort of.
Right. You know what I was? What I think? I would love to see a dark version of Ghostbusters. You know, where people die and it's seriously where it's scary. You know, like
friend Larry boy.
No, but seriously, I think it would be really cool if you did sort of a dark, scary version of Ghostbusters.
There's a movie called that was out, and it was at the Tribeca Film Festival this year, and I got to go see it. It's going to pop in my head while I'm talking about a television show, and they copied Ghost Adventurers. Ghost Adventures, whatever the hell that piece of crap is. Because it really is one of the worst out there. Paranormal State was the worst, and I think Ghost Adventures is swirling the bowl itself. But
those guys, though, I find the show entertaining.
So do I. I watch it, and I've met those guys, and those guys are really nice, and they're cool, and Zach's a nice guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's
I would never have guessed that.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I mean, I met him briefly, but Chris Fleming, who's a close friend of mine, is pretty tight with those guys, and he loves them. He says they're great. I don't like the show because, you know, if anybody's watched it, it's all... I am envious. I'm not jealous, but I would love to have a show.
You're envious, but you're not jealous. What is that?
Jealous.
What's the difference there?
Jealous, I think, is in a negative way.
Uh huh. But envy is one of the seven deadly sins.
From me. Then I'm jealous and not envious. Whatever it is, I'm happy that these guys are having success, and I wish I could have that kind of opportunity. But I certainly wouldn't want to do the show that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, every place they go to is infested with evil people and demonic stuff and crazy, scary stuff. And you know, they're getting scratched. I've never gotten scratched. Have you ever gotten scratched? Do you know anybody who's ever gotten scratched?
No, not scratched. But I told you that I was on the investigation where that. One of my investigators was pushed down the stairs.
Right. So. Was that a malicious push or was it?
Yeah, yeah, it was malicious.
Well, how do you know?
Well, because we had Catherine, and Catherine was really on that night. Boy, she was good. The reason why we were looking in that area was because, you know, Catherine was saying that she felt that there was an old man in that part of the church, speaks German. We later found out, actually, after that this was originally a German settled church. Mm-hmm. Speaks German, very angry, an old guy, doesn't want us there. He's especially angry that we're there. But he was even angry before we got there, according to Catherine. So we were looking in that area, weren't getting anything, went up the stairs, and that's when he was pushed. And so, yeah, I would say, I mean, how can you not be maliciously pushed downstairs?
Well, is it a case of them trying so hard to get our attention that the push becomes too hard, say, or
you mean like in the Three Stooges when Moe tries to get Larry's attention? And
that's exactly what I mean. No, I mean, it's a case where somebody touched this guy and it startled this guy so much that he went down the stairs. You know, was it?
I don't know. No, because what happened was, to tell the rest of the story, which I probably already told. What happened was when he hit the. Now we weren't.
You can feel free to tell it because obviously I can guarantee you people are hearing it for the first time.
Now we only have two people again. Your mother's gone.
Dancing with the Stars starts in a couple minutes.
excuse me. We weren't getting anything on the EMF meters, and the meters that we had, you know, gave off a loud beeping sound when they were picking up an EMF field. And the stronger the field, the faster the beeps and the louder. Excuse me. And so, it's a good idea to be drinking beers when you're on the radio.
Yeah.
When he hit the when he hit the floor, all of the EMF meters, all of them, went off like crazy. I mean, that was freaky. And then I told you the pipes banging like this, wow, just like this, like that. it was insane. I mean, we really felt like we were under attack. It was very crazy.
I've never experienced anything. I would love.
Neither
to.
Did I. That was the one and only time, but it was scary.
I would love to. I have felt like I was poked right in the chest by like somebody's index finger. And I don't believe that I was actually touched by anything. I think I felt it
psychokinetically.
Thank you. And because there's nobody, you know, there was no way anybody was near me, there wasn't a mark where I was poked or any kind of impression in my clothes or anything like that. And it felt like not an angry poke like somebody would poke you in the chest, but just kind of pressure.
Well, but even if it was it had to be psychokinetic, right? I mean, the spirit
you'd
still get a mark, you know.
Right.
I mean, if somebody is scratched, if they're scratched, it's done psychokinetically. Or
yeah, I mean, I have just seen people do it. I've seen people faking, you know, scratching their hands and scratching
their
arms with their hands and, you know, scratching it on a brick. I saw a woman doing it on a brick one night. And look at my hands are all scratched up. I'm like, hey, you freak. Because you were just scratching them.
You freak. Did you actually say you freak?
No, I was polite. But
oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I was polite.
I've been kissed once.
So fine. That's it.
Really? I think this girl in the fourth grade. No, but I...
Aileen.
Minicozy.
Minicozy, yeah.
That was her name.
Wow. Aileen Minicozy.
Minicozy.
I knew a girl who had a big crush on in high school. Her name was Angel Balzerano.
And later to become a stripper.
No, she was like the coolest girl and
Angel Balzerano.
Angel Balzerano. Where are you, Angel? She was really, really cool.
I was kissed. I was trying out, I guess toying is the right word, with mediumship. And And I was getting actually some really interesting results. You know, I was sort of opening myself up, you know, putting it out there that I'm available for, you know, for messages or whatever. And it was the same sort of thing where, although it wasn't a dream state, I wasn't dreaming, it would happen in the middle of the night where I would be awakened often by sounds or a lot of times it was someone just, you know, saying my name and I would wake up and then I would hear sounds. I would hear someone around me and at one point I was kissed right on the lips and it was really interesting. It was.
And you're positive you were awake.
Oh, I was absolutely awake. Right. Yeah.
I trust
yeah.
you because, but you hear a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, I know.
You know, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I promise you, I was awake. I wasn't asleep.
No, and this had happened. I had something happen like 3 nights in a row, around the same time each night, and I was always awakened first. It wasn't that I was awakened by the kiss. I was always awakened by a sound first. Either on two occasions, it was someone saying my name. One time it sounded like the voice of my father, and another time it was just the sound of, like, people in the room, which was really freaky, because it sounded like there were a few people just walking around the room, and that kind of freaked me out, and I stopped doing it, and I sort of shut it down.
I would love to explore that. I have just recently have had two experiences where I'm not psychic, I'm not a sensitive, or I don't...
In fact, you're an insensitive.
I really am. And, go ahead, knock the table down, man.
Oh,
and,
sorry, my iPad just crashed,
and,
too.
Yeah, go ahead. We're still on. But, just recently I've had two experiences where, if they were psychic experiences, where I've seen something... And I've heard something on two separate occasions. And I was talking to a friend of mine, Richard Scholler, who's a fantastic, well, he's one of the best out there, psychic mediums. And I said, Richard, you know, what's the story? I've had these two experiences, and I'm not, you know, I kind of take pride in that. I'm not that guy who walks in and says, oh, I feel an Indian spirit, or I feel this, or I feel that. I just kind of come in and collect the data and go. Mm-hmm. And listen to what people say and leave that kind of stuff to people that I trust. And he said, Dan, you're surrounding yourself with this and with people, and you're opening yourself and you're being open-minded. So why not? Why wouldn't you have, you know, that kind of drive-by, that
right.
flesh
yeah,
experience?
Yeah. Right.
You know, you're more aware of it and you're almost looking
right.
for it, but you're
yeah.
you're open to experience it. So.
And that, you know, what I discovered when I was actually sort of being mentored by Catherine, the psychic that I introduced you to on Saturday.
Catherine, if you're listening and you would like to mentor me, I'd be more than willing.
Now, Dan.
Moving on.
We just lost another listener. We had four. Now we're back down to three.
Who's... Oh, come on.
And that was the big difference was, you know, you need to open yourself up. I mean, you actually have to sort of put it out there saying to the spirit world, I am, you know, I'm opening up the gates. I'm open to any sort of, you know, communication. And, you know, I'm here to listen. I'm here to help. And that's what sort of brings them. I mean, you know, according to Catherine, according to...
I guess most people.
They'll say that everyone, you know, has psychic abilities.
I believe they do. I mean, I think it's fairly obvious that people.
Yeah, but do. But what I always say is, yeah, it's the same thing as saying, you know, everyone has the ability to play basketball, right?
But no one's going to be Michael Jordan.
That's right. Exactly.
Michael Jordan, yeah.
Right. Well, not no one, but very few people are.
I talk about my, and I do this in my lectures, my cable TV. Scenario, if you want, where I have everybody said who's got at least basic cable, and everybody raises their hands.
All right.
I say, okay, who's got Showtime? Who's got HBO? Who's got who's got, you know, cable modem with that? Who's got their phone? And you can whittle it down to, you know, the premium service, top of the
right.
line, and there's only two people out of
yeah.
you know 75 people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I say cable is like people's psychic ability. It's like cable. Everybody's got it. at least the basic. And every once in a while, you get free HBO for a weekend. Every once in a while, you're going to have an experience where you're not able to do it all the time. And, and I think that these people like Catherine and Richard Scholler or Kathy Toll, who was with us the other night, I think that they have, you know, premium service.
Right, right.
And you know, cable doesn't work all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been with Richard who's, you know, hadn't had a good night. And but for the most part, you know, somebody like Richard is you know, batting. You know, if a baseball player bats 500, he's having a great season.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, of course.
And you know, psychics are kind of held up to a higher standard. You know, you have to get 95%. Yeah. But, you know, if somebody is getting 40%, I think that's pretty freaking amazing.
Well, I mean, and the other thing with psychics and you know, I guess we should qualify that and say psychic mediums is that, you know, a lot that was good. that they're put on the spot all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so what are you seeing? Tell me now.
Right, what am I going to have for supper tonight?
And it doesn't always work that way, you know, and which is often why, you know, there are people who become famous psychics, and then there are rumors, oh, well, I know that this person faked, you know, when he was on that TV show, they did this or they did that. And, you know, I think what happens is some good psychics actually, you know, when they're on TV, they have to fudge it.
Because just like these ghost shows have
that's
to
right.
produce.
They have, exactly, because it's all about ratings. Because people are tuning in. You want people to tune in.
Right.
And if they're going to tune in and you know, only 50% of the time something is actually going interesting,
I mean,
is going to happen.
Have somebody like John Edwards, who is a for real psychic.
And
He's been tested by a lot of top universities, and he's the real deal. He always has been. But, you know, you get these shows and you get these big auditorium, you know, these coliseums where he's talking to 3,000-4,000 people.
Right.
You know, a friend of mine, Scott, was just telling me that he went to a John Edwards show and there was like 7,000 people went to go see him. It was like a rock concert.
Right.
And he was picking people out. But I think those things, they do gild the lily a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's probably a really good cold reader. But here's a guy who has some real ability.
Right.
To Jane Von Prague.
Right.
You know, another person. Or Sylvia Brown, who's, I think, just a complete pile of crap.
A putrid pile of crap,
yes.
I believe.
Yes. She's rancid. And have you seen that guys, whoever, Alice, William?
Alice, are you still there?
You should,
Alice?
You should,
Dana?
You need to YouTube Sylvia Brown talking to a woman. She's telling this woman, you know, I see your husband. They never found the body. So she's going, I think he drowned. I see water in his lungs. And she's going on and on and on, going, no, honey, he drowned. And the woman's looking at Sylvia Brown all perplexed and she goes, I think that's impossible. And Sylvia Brown goes, why, honey, why? She goes, well, he was a fireman. He died in 9/11. And you see this look of horror on Sylvia Brown's face. And then she goes, well, firemen have those water hoses, right? And it was like, oh, come on, man. Just say you're wrong, you know?
Can't she just say, well, yeah. So
I'm off. Sorry.
I guess I'm off.
I'm
sorry
for your loss.
It happens,
you know,
yeah.
It screwed this girl's day up, I'm sure.
Well, we only have 1 minute left.
We do. It's
boy, how time has flown.
58 minutes
has flown.
And 45 seconds.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot to record.
8 o'clock. Did you?
No, I'm recording. Well, listen. We're going to talk about, as we're wrapping up here, as I'm putting all this stuff away, we'd like to thank Shoutcast for not bumping us off this evening.
We'd like to thank Shoutcast for doing what we're paying them to do.
Exactly. And we'd especially like to thank William and Alice for hanging in there. Okay, guys, now it's time to go to bed. And
Dana.
And Dana, time to go to bed. And I want to thank you, Larry.
And I'd like to thank you, Dan.
And for the use of your work area.
Not at all.
And for being a cool guy.
Right back at you.
I wouldn't want to be doing this with anybody else but you, brother.
Again, right back at you.
You're the best. So next week,
you're the best.
No, that's not true at all. So next week we will have a nice surprise for you if you check the website that you went to hear this.
Okay.
You will hear
a surprise. I don't even. It's going to be a surprise to me.
That's it's going to be a surprise to me, but because we don't know what we're doing next week, so
oh, I see.
It's all a surprise. But let's get some music.
We will discuss last week's debacle.
We will
and possibly take a call.
Yeah, you know, I figured that out.
Why didn't we do that?
Because I can't really test it when I'm by myself because it's just too much. I've got headphones and speakers.
Why don't you tell me to call in. That's
well,
you
were out with your girl last week, man. Yesterday. I was checking it out. I was doing it last night. So, but
all right.
A little music. We got a little Black Crowes from my buddy Dana.
Okay.
And Larry, brother, you're the best.
As always.
And Mom, I love you.
And I love you too, Mom.
And Larry loves you. And we'll see you.
See you later.
See you later.
Bye.